WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever. And peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. I'm writing this in the waiting room of Iran Eye Associates in Fort Lauderdale. Lorraine's due for cataract surgery in a few minutes. I certainly hope it'll go well. She just came out with a funny-looking blue hairnet thing after getting the eye drops. I've been including more writers on the show lately. Tonight, I'll be talking with Don Webb, an online publisher, a pioneer, in fact. Bewildering Stories started 10 years ago and is still going strong, providing a place for new writers to get their start and old writers to share their work. Although it started out as a place for science fiction and fantasy, it quickly branched out to include just about any genre you can name. I think you'll enjoy the interview. The Miami Heat are in the finals again. I'm rooting for them to close it out tonight, just after our show. I really like the way this team plays. They show a lot of heart. The Oklahoma Thunder, their opponents, are no slouch either. You know, sports are fun, a great diversion from real life. I was disappointed to see them show off a soldier who just returned from Afghanistan. I always have a problem with the pride shown during the singing of the national anthem, because I think we as a nation have very little to brag about. But I was certainly impressed by the young singer. I think she was 11 years old. Her performance was one of the best I've seen in years. She had all the notes, which is not an easy thing to do with that star-splattered rag song. lots of famous pop stars can't manage it. Well, they finally took Lorraine in. Been here about an hour and 45 minutes. Her surgery was officially supposed to be an hour ago. There's no Wi-Fi here, and I'm going a little bit nuts. Strange-looking people on the TV are getting zonked or excited on Let's Make a Deal. And I'm thinking, hey, I got a deal for you. Better not go there. I'm reading. Switched books about four times already. I can't seem to get interested in anything. The Price is Right. Only if it's free, I think. Even then, only if it's something I want, really want. What a society we have. Nothing seems to count except money and junk. How much is that? Can I get a deal on it? What would I trade for it? I don't think that's the stuff that really counts. Well, that's where I stopped writing. She finally came out, and everything went well. It was a small glitch in one of the prescriptions, but that finally got straightened out, and I made a very fast four-mile ride to go pick it up, and got back here, and here I am, ready for tonight's show, and I'm going to turn it on over now to my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Hey, wait, guys. We're getting something in here at the station. All North American radio stations are being asked to wait. I'm losing it. Just go ahead. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyway, tonight we welcome Keith McHenry. He's been on the show many times, and Don Webb. Okay, let's roll. Why doesn't the government reopen the Kennedy case? Why doesn't the government admit there was a massive cover-up? Why doesn't it admit the Warren Commission was selling a fairy tale and that the House Committee on Assassination sold a revised version of the same fairy tale? I think the reason the government doesn't take action and hides behind a wall of silence today is because the whole subject is so radioactive that to get involved, there would be nothing but risk, blame, and exposure. If any president of the United States, if you put yourself in their shoes, politicians, senators, congressmen, any chief executive, as soon as they say anything about the Kennedy assassination that would indicate they don't agree with the official version, it would raise a massive uproar. And people would then say, how can you say that? That's unpatriotic. Are you accusing this government of being involved in a coup? Are you accusing the government of covering up? And by the way, what are you going to do about it? I think that everyone hides behind a wall of silence, quite frankly, out of cowardice. The cover-up of this assassination that was implemented in the 1960s by guilty men and by people who knew they were telling lies. And from the mid-70s on, the cover-up has been perpetuated by cowards. Has been true since 1978. It's really tragic. People in this country don't need to be protected from the truth. We've had three assassinations in the 60s. Nobody believes the official stories on King, RFK, or JFK. We've had Vietnam. We've had Watergate. We've had Iran-Contra. And we had the lies about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We don't need to be protected from the truth. We can handle the truth. If we can learn the truth, we can move forward with confidence and try to prevent those things from happening again. But you're not going to find anyone in the U.S. government who wants to do anything with this case again. In South Africa, they had truth commissions, and people told the truth after apartheid was over. And at least people came to understand their own history a little better. They can't tell the truth here because then nobody would pay their taxes. Nobody would care about the military budget anymore, and everyone would get thrown out of office. We have a government that changes hands on the surface every 4 years and every 2 years and every 6 years, but which in reality isn't that much different from the previous one and is still pursuing the same macro interests at the expense of the needs of people. In the long run, we would be better for it, the truth. We would be a more mature country and more understanding country and better able to safeguard ourselves in the future if we knew exactly what went down in 63 and in 68, and if the government would fess up to it and if we could examine it and study it in detail. We would be much better off in the long run because then we could move forward confidently and try to prevent such abuses in the future. Only in that way can we recover our respect as a people and move forward much wiser and more confident about where we should be heading in the future. And that, folks, is Douglas Horne, H-O-R-N-E. Well, folks, there is actually a they out there, and there is actually a you and a me, and we constitute a we. They, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and company, want us to be afraid, as they told us in the anthrax letters in 2001. We can do this, but we cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
We are required to interrupt the program to issue a special bulletin. There have been, I can't believe this, what it says here, a special bulletin, there have been explosions detected on the surface of Mars. All meteorological bureaus have been asked to keep an eye on the strange occurrence. That's all it says for now. Back to you guys, Chuck and Mike. Guys, are you there?
Hey, Len. Yeah, we're here. Thank you. Okay, then. Hi, I'm Barack Obama. How far we've come. They shot Martin Luther King Jr. on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. But he was going to lead a poor people's march to Washington and get the streets fixed in Detroit. He was getting that close to changing America. That's why things had to go down like they did, man. Let's be reasonable. We're all intelligent people here. We see what's going on, the cultural realities, the signs. So me too, if I don't do what they say. I don't want to die. I'll do whatever they say. Say whatever I'm told. My children are young. They should not die. They're not much older or younger than your children, right? Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. 9/11 attacks were perpetrated by 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters. See how far we've come. It's all good. When I smile and I wave, that's our little signal. You to do what I say, and really, nobody will get hurt. Stay on the same page, take it to the next level, keep on keeping on. It's all good. Vote for me. Obama Biden, 2012. For hope. For change.
We have now further report regarding the fiery, bubbly, lava-like, like maybe Witch's Cauldron or something, you think? Anyway, explosions on the surface of Mars as being reported by the mainstream media. We are now receiving scattered reports from around the United States. Wait, something's coming in from Grover's Mill, New Jersey. It seems there are giant Russians, some really big ones, 10-foot-tall criminal terrorists, and here's the last part. The portion's garbled. Here it is, big bees. Oh, my God.
God bless the Grand Canyon. God bless Mount Rushmore and Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Dad and Sally and Johnny. God bless the dead Iraqi kids and dead Afghanistani kids and dead kids everywhere. God bless the Golden Gate Bridge and the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. God bless Rover and Mr. Fluffles and Dixie and Miss Thompson, too. And God bless our soldiers and troops and bombs and bullets and ships and really big bombs and our president, too. And I'm pretty sure our president would kill anyone. who could really keep him from staying in his big white house. So God bless me, and God bless you, too. Now I'd like to welcome our first guest, an old friend, Keith McHenry. Keith McHenry, I first met when I was on a book tour in Taos, and I had never been there, and I haven't been there since. But it was fun while I was there, and Keith is the founder of Food Not Bombs, and he's seems like he's always on the road seeking justice for the poor, seeking justice for all of us, and he's our always out there for us. It's good knowing Keith McHenry is working for all of us. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm oddly in Taos, which almost never happens. I'm excited about that.
What are you doing there? What are you doing at home? You got something going on?
Yeah, well, a couple of different things. One, I'm doing a bunch of paintings, and we're also starting a free school. And a lot of it, of the basic idea of the free school, is to teach people organic gardening and permaculture and stuff. So tomorrow we're going to actually plow this pasture that we're living in right now. And that's kind of what we're doing this summer, is sort of teach people gardening and those kinds of skills. And it's largely, most of the people that come to do it, the people that are coming are Food Not Bombs activists from different parts of the United States, mostly Florida, but also other parts of the country. So that's this is the first year we've done, like, where people live here and stuff. Before, people would drop in just for a couple of days, and then we would teach, how to do composting, and then maybe they come back some other time, and then we do, how to cultivate the seeds, things like that. So it all depends on, but now we're kind of full on trying to set up this free school.
What are you painting? What are you working on?
Now, the painting is, if you go to foodupbombs.net, you can see one of my paintings on the front page. And the one that I'm right this second working on, what I did is I took a bunch of my drawings and scanned them last week, and now I'm starting to color them, to do watercolors. I do gouache and watercolor on them. And this one is the Occupy drawing that I did for an occupation at the White House that we were organizing in 2005. So it's got impeach Bush on it. It's got Code Pink, Peace with Iran, Veterans for Peace, the that kind of thing. It's interesting that sort of a historic drawing. And I decided to make it. I'm going to do all my images now in color. And I've already started. I have a number of them done that way already. So I'm trying to work towards having both a coloring book and a art show sometime in the future. And they're all paintings that are basically lots of activists of different backgrounds holding usually a big banner in the front. In this case, it says Peace and Democracy. Some of them say Food Not Bombs, some of them say Our Future. Depends on the subject. And then there's all kinds of organic gardening. And in this case, it has tents all around the lawn in front of the White House.
If anybody goes to the Food Not Bombs website, the main one, they'll see a drawing of yours. Is that correct?
Yeah. That painting is one of the style. That's the style that all these paintings are in. And I started doing these paintings. The first one, which I hadn't scanned because I guess scanning and all that stuff wasn't really happening much back when I did it, but was it for the Food Not Bombs International Gathering in 1995. And it was the first of these images that I had done to make a poster to let people know that there was going to be this event. And that gathering was really amazing. That's where indie media was invented in preparation for the Food Not Bombs gathering. It was on the 50th anniversary celebration of the United Nations. We were being arrested in San Francisco at UN Plaza at that time. The board of supervisors had given us two permits to share food there, yet the police were defying those permits and arresting us anyway. And we so we called for a food world gathering. People came from all over the world. We rented a convergence space near where we were being arrested at UN Plaza. We got arrested basically every day at lunch and dinner sharing food, as well as at marches where we would, we did a march against the death penalty, because Mumia Abu-Jamal was set to, be executed that August, and this was in July of 95. And, then since that time, I've made these same drawings and then paintings for each of the different Food Not Bombs gatherings. So I had another one for Atlanta the next year. I did one for New York City in 2004 at the RNC. Another one for a biotech conference where we had a Food Not Bombs gathering in Philadelphia in 2005. And one in Ukraine that happened. I didn't get to go to it. I didn't have the money to get there, but I did a drawing for the world gathering that was 2007 in Ukraine, and so on. And then my most recent drawings and paintings were the I did a painting for Occupy Wall Street, which is on foodnotbombs.net also, if you go to the Occupy link. And then also I just did one for the Tampa gathering, which is the next world gathering, and that's in the week before the RNC meets in Tampa, Florida this coming summer.
I have to add that you also did the cover for one of my books, The American Dream, and I'm proud to say that that you did that cover, and I really liked it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just saw the original of that a couple of days ago when I was going to get these all these drawings out to scan. That's so cool.
Hey, you were going to go to Chicago and get an award. Could you tell us about what happened there?
Yeah, so I've just published a second book of my own. Was published by C-Sharp Press called Hungry for Peace. And so once I finished my initial book tour for that book, and then I went to Ethiopia. So on the way to do that, I needed to take a lot of cooking equipment and stuff for the NATO protest and in Chicago. So what I ended up doing is driving from Taos to Chicago. I parked my van there while I was at a hotel and went over to Ethiopia. That was incredible. I worked with all these young people there to set up Food Not Bombs or to help encourage them. They'd actually existed before I'd gotten there. And I'm, like, so impressed. They keep emailing me each week saying that there even more people came to eat than the week before and that the project's going really well. And then after spending time there, I came back to Chicago, and I helped with Feed the Peace and other Food Not Bombs activists provide meals at all those huge protests at NATO. That was really inspiring. It could have been a lot more people, but, Rob Emanuel did a huge amount of effort to try to provide scare tactics to keep people away. But it's still like several hundred people at the larger marches. And then at the end of the month, I attended a conference by the Justice Studies Association and their people working on progressive ideas around criminal justice issues, and they awarded me the Noam Chomsky Award during that conference, and that was I think I'm the first non well known person to get that award. The person before was Kathy Kelly, and there was the Berrigan brothers, and people that I'm sure everybody's familiar with. So I was really honored and pleased to get that. And then after that, I returned back to Taos to help start the Food Not Bombs Free School. So
awesome! People should know about you. And is that book you were talking about? Is that a biography or autobiography? Is it about your life? Because there should be a book about that.
That's really nice of you. There, I actually have been working on a book about my life. But I always end up in these other kind of projects. So in this case, the book Hungry for Peace, it does have an outline of the history of Food Not Bombs, like about maybe 20, 30 pages about the history. And it does have a timeline of important dates in the back of the book in the appendix. But it's actually a replacement of my first book, which was called Food Not Bombs, How to Feed the Hungry and Build Community. And that book was published in 1992, and it had, originally, and it had three editions that sold over 10,000 copies in English, and 6,000 in Italian, and 6,000 in Spanish, and there was like some, maybe a 500 copies were printed in Russia, and it was in French and a few other languages, but the I sold out. And one day, my publisher called me up when I ordered a case of books. He said, wow, it turns out this is the last case, and you maybe should rewrite it because it was before, actually, the web and all that, you know. And what we had, and it was fact, it was printed, you know, on film. The computer program I wrote it on never didn't exist anymore. It was like, so, you know, we'd just been reprinting it off the original film. And so we decided to rewrite it. So I spent 4 years writing it, and sold out of the other books, you know, halfway in between. So I had like about 2 years of no books to help. And the purpose of the book is to let people know how to do a food not bombs, why you should do food not bombs, and has recipes for both. Vegan recipes for 6 people and for 100 people, and it's the kind of the a lot of the things besides, you know, it's a much bigger book. The first book was 8.5 by 5.5 inches, and it was 127 pages. This is 182 pages, 8.5 by 11, has photos from all over the of Food Not Bombs in different countries, and you know, has the history of the first 30 years of Food Not Bombs. And I also put in how to organize a tour, how to organize a concert, how to organize a meeting, lots of practical tips on how to just be a community organizer, and things that people might not have otherwise, you know, thought of. Information on how to make decisions using consensus, you know, why. A lot of stuff on world hunger and GMOs and the whole complex issues of why there's so much poverty and hunger, you know, in the world, and then suggestions on how to organize around that.
Keith, thank you. I have to close now, but could you tell people how they can keep in touch with you and your travels? I'm sure you got a lot upcoming. How they can get the books, and how they might be able to donate to you to help you along in all your work.
Yeah, we definitely actually right now can use a little bit of funding because of starting this free school. And they can reach us at foodnotbombs.net, and they can find out the details about the gathering. Also, we have a number of prisoners that we're trying to – we have one trial coming up of 2 Food Not Bombs volunteers, 2 of the 5 people in Cleveland that were entrapped by the FBI on May Day, and so we're working for their freedom right now. Their trial starts, coincidentally, on Constitution Day, the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution in September 17th. So all that information is at foodnotbombs.net, and you can also find the toll-free number there. I also will be speaking at the Animal Rights Conference in Washington, D.C. In the first week of August. And then I go on the Elect to End Hunger and Poverty Tour, which is the final leg of the tour for promoting the Food Not Bombs book, Hungry for Peace. And all that can be found at foodnotbombs.net.
Thank you very much, Keith. And we look forward to talking to you again in a couple months, and keep up the good work. We really appreciate
it. Thanks so much. Thanks. I'm really honored that you called. That's really cool. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
You too.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z.
There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Guys, I got to cut in again. It seems military, corporations, secret societies, double secret government agencies have now been asked to take control of the airwaves because of the gravity of the situation. We now are going live. We have Colonel Double Major 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 speaking to us from Grover's Mills. Major?
We're the military. Is that a village of children? Where's the napalm? I don't want any gay people around me while I'm killing women and kids. Don't want to see it. Now we also like to add marijuana smokers to the previous list. Mentioned on this broadcast. Yeah. And marijuana smokers, also from Mars, landing everywhere. Everywhere, yeah. Please use duct tape, build prisons, bulldoze schools, and await further instructions. Can up!
The mind of an American rules the world. The president, Warren Buffett, Tiger Woods, Katie Couric, John Stewart, the Michelin Man. Oh, stupid, it's you. You are king of the world, God, Superman, King Midas, all that. It's you. You are more than just a legend in your own mind. You are the man. And when the CIA, through the CIA propaganda machine called Radio Free Europe or the American Free Press, tells you the Russians are coming, or the criminals are coming, or terrorists, or the Iranians, or Iraqis, or Afghans on nuclear-powered blue donkeys, or big bees, and you believe it, well then, Zeke, that's how the world will go. You are powerful, the most powerful Yahoo who has ever lived in the history of living. And you are an idiot, and the world is going to burn. Maybe you're not an idiot on purpose, but an idiot nonetheless. The CIA, the persons in the CIA are smart, but they are evil, the actual evil empire, and they control you, the most powerful person in the world. If you were not an idiot, they could not do that, but you are an idiot. That's too bad.
The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Russian menace. Patrice Lumumba must die. Jacobo Arbenz must die. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Mossadegh must go. El Salvador, Italian workers, peasants, Greek socialists, Nicaraguan peasants, Grenada, Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, Argentina. All threats to the American way of life. Eating Doritos, watching TV in the dark with a cushy pillow. They're out there. They're dangerous. Workers, self-government, health care, roads, no police, no military. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Tonight's second guest is Don Webb, one of the major players in a website called Bewildering Stories that's been around for about 10 years, publishing fiction week after week, fiction and poetry, all kinds of things. It's really a great site, and you should visit bewilderingstories.com. And here goes the interview that I spoke with Don a couple of days ago, and we're going to play that for you in its entirety.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yeah, is this Chuck?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good to hear from you. Glad we could make contact, finally.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah, how are things going?
Oh, they're doing just fine.
Oh, we're fine. We're fine up here.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Is it warm enough down there in Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, yeah, quite warm.
Okay, yeah, got all the snow cleared off the driveway, and ready for the palm trees to bloom.
Yeah, right. I tell you, it's been a long time since I saw snow.
Well, we didn't have much last winter. It's a little, shall we say, ominous.
Yeah.
Yeah, warm winter, cold spring, both dry. We shall see.
Someone could almost think that global warming was happening or something.
Yeah. Well, it affects the north earlier and more severely than it does the tropics. So I think you're okay until the water starts lapping around your ankles.
Well, yeah, but that's exactly how it would affect us down here. You know, we're more or less at sea level, so it doesn't take much of a rise in the for us to be underwater.
Yeah, well, that's what I always liked about the Atlantic. You can swim in it. I think now that I'd like to have a boat. An ark comes to mind.
That might be a good idea. I suppose swimming in the Pacific, you might get some radiation these days.
Oh, there is that. I don't know how much Alaskans and the people off of the coast of the Pacific Northwest worry about it, but I think they may have been looking nervously at some of the objects washing up on the beach.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, that's one thing you don't have to worry about, eh? No earthquakes, no tsunamis, just the occasional hurricane.
That's right.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Well,
listen, what I was, what I'd like you to tell me about is the history of bewildering stories. You sent me some interesting stuff in an email.
Right, and I tell you what, I've got your timing could not be better because in Bewildering Stories issue 483, which is currently on the homepage. If you just go to either the index or the reader's guide,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll see right at the top of the listings, and above the novel, which mm-hmm. we go from the longest to the shortest index. But right above it, we have commemoration, Bewildering Stories 10th anniversary.
Aha.
June 20th, 2002 to 2012.
Well, that's perfect timing, huh?
I would say, and then just click on that, and you got the entire history.
Okay. I'd like you to tell the listeners about it. So, can you sum things up a little bit for them? Also, by the way, bewilderingstories.com for anybody that's out there.
That's correct, bewilderingstories.com. And people listening to their program may be wondering about the name. Well, there is a story behind that. And I'll summarize it as much as I can for them. Because I'm bewildered myself sometimes. I'll quote a little bit here. Bewildering Stories was conceived in a humorous exchange on the Analog Magazine Forum 10 years ago on June 20th, 2002. Its purpose was to break the print magazine's bottleneck in science fiction and give new writers a chance to find an audience. Our original mission statement appeared in issue 1, and it says in part, legend has it that it started as a joke on the Analog Forum. Well, sort of. Some forum members have been talking about all the stories they've submitted to Analog or Asimov's, only to have them bounce. It seemed to me that rejection slips are so common they might be a literary genre in themselves. I thought of all the attempts languishing in writers' desk drawers and file cabinets, never to see the light of day. I said, let's publish them. And in a takeoff on titles from science fiction's past, such as Amazing and Astounding, I added, tongue-in-cheek, we could call them bewildering stories. That's where the joke began and ended. Jerry Wright and a young gentleman, a brilliant young man, by the way, called Invincible Spud, provided the means, experience, and expertise to launch a website, and Bewildering Stories became a reality overnight. The history goes on a little bit. It's very interesting in itself. It explains how we expanded beyond science fiction into all the genres of literature. Mm-hmm. I have a rather colorful way of putting it because very estimable author named Kate Backus wrote to us and pointed out that Bewildering Stories is not a glorified slush pile, that we were actually a new kid on the block. Jerry and Spud and I perked up our ears, said she was right, and we immediately changed our mission statement to what it is now. Kate had a very touching story titled 20 Views of Tan Foran. And that story took us once and for all beyond the solar system of science fiction and into the interstellar realm of all genres of literature. So Kate deserves a lot of credit. Meanwhile, there's a very important event was also taking place. Spud, I eventually learned his real name. The early years he published voluminously in Bewildering Stories. He just cleaned out his drawers, his trunk, his files, everything. And he never used the same byline twice. He always made up some fanciful pen name. But Spud suggested that we might make forays into French language science fiction. And he suggested well-known short story by Voltaire. Well, I said, it's too well-known, it's available on the net, we would not be adding much. But I did know of a novel that is an early classic of science fiction. It's frequently referred to, but very few people seem to have read it. Uh-huh. And it's quite understandable because the author died in 1655.
Good Lord.
And, yeah, the language is a little quaint, even for modern French readers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's Cyrano de Bergerac. Mm-hmm. His novel, L'Autre Monde, is The Other World, which he preferred to call it. But it's more commonly known as Voyage to the Moon. Well, I began the translation in issue 27. And it continued for a very long time. It's complete online now. It's the only complete version in English that I know of on the internet. Hmm. And it's not only a translation, it's a kind of critical edition in a sense, because it contains a lot of glosses, semi-humorous explanations, because the audience I have in mind are high school and college students who would be interested in this early classic and might find some parts of it just a little hard to understand, because it has a lot to do with the history of early modern science. And with Cyrano de Bergerac, Bewildering Stories was here to stay, and here we are 10 years later carrying the flag.
Well, I think that's great. I think in many ways you were ahead of your time. I mean, now there's a proliferation of e-books, and it's become quite easy for people to get their words in print. But you couldn't have raised a
more interesting point, I think. It's the title of the 10th anniversary essay is From Start to Future. Notice it's not From Start to Finish, it's From Start to Future.
Okay.
And the third part of that essay deals with exactly what you're talking about. And I think that your listeners and readers would be very interested, and I heartily encourage them to write and enjoy and join the discussion, because my intent is to stay ahead of the wave. And inks, it seems to me, are, as you say, just are the way to go on the internet now.
It's really quite impressive that you have managed to put something out week after week for 10 years. Just having done the radio show once a week for, it's about a year and a half now, not even quite that, I can recognize how much work it is to keep on, and how much responsibility to keep on coming up with something on a regular basis like that.
It's one of the nice things about being retired, I suppose. People ask me what it's like being retired, and I say, retired? What's that?
Well, yeah.
And I'm a retired college professor.
Okay.
I say, well, you know, I don't miss the students. I do miss the students. I miss them very much, but okay. I don't miss looking for a parking space on campus.
This is
a way of keeping in touch with students, as it were. I consider our contributors as much students as myself. I'm constantly learning something.
I think any day that I don't learn something is a day wasted.
There you go. We want to keep ahead of the wave.
That's it. What did you teach in college?
Oh, French language and literature.
Well,
yeah, it's funny. When I was a student, I never thought that a major in French and a minor in German literature would ever be of any practical use. And now, about a day goes by that I don't rely on it very extensively. I keep thanking my lucky stars for that education. I don't know what literary education is going to become in modern times, but being able to refer to 1,000 years of literary history is just an enormous advantage. And even a privilege.
Well,
I don't claim to know it all, by the way.
I
don't claim to know it all. But I do know where to look.
That's
a bit of a librarian in that respect. But the important thing is to come up with examples and stories to illustrate points that might help our contributors to tell a good story. That's what Bewildering Stories is all about.
Are you still constantly in the market for people's stories, or are you welcome?
Oh, sure. Oh, okay. We've heard of other webzines declaring a moratorium on submissions. We've never done that, and I don't think we ever will. Our short stories queue is rather long at the moment. It has about 80 titles in it. But new contributors get special priority.
We have to interrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, Grover's Mills is no more. We have reports of scattered and dismal, as they may be, that Russians, big ones, terrorists, swarthy and crafty criminals, marijuana smokers, and big bees now have control of the city. Public access community channel for Grover's Mills is reportedly showing only naked photos of Maria Sharapova hitting tennis balls against a gray concrete wall and martial music of Nikolai Myaskovsky. If you want to try to get the link to that station, give us a call and we'll try to help you out. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
The moon. We went there and never went back. Makes sense. The same thing happened with the big discovery of the car and the airplane in Hawaii and Las Vegas. And no problem in getting back from the surface of the moon to the main spaceship thing and the technology. You mean we could do that in the 60s when computers were as big as rooms and there was no such thing as personal computers, the internet, and we never went back? And hey, wait, let go of me. Hey, where's your warrant? There's a beverage here, man. I have my rights. Freaking hall monitors. I think they own the stupid school. And that press conference, wow, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, they should have been like, man, we are so excited to just get back from the moon. We never tested that moon landing thing and then the takeoff from the moon and then the hookup with the orbiter thing, because how could you practice that? And it all worked like a charm. I'm going to live, and I've been to the moon. But they were like, we are so depressed and so shy, and did we see stars or not? Yes, no, yes, I don't know. Like, almost like they were hiding something. Goddamn fascists.
Take it to the beach. Summer reading list, American Zeitgeist. What can you take with you from your busy life with this one chance at some time alone, or really soak it all in, sun, news, really catch up on all that stuff. So when you come back to the office, you'll be an even better you, tan and informed, ready to do well, ready to just be a better American, thinner, a better parent, spouse, employee, better person overall. Well, some with some pop and excitement, current events, just a good read. Well, there's something, I guess. Power Principle, Scott Noble. Series of three free movies you can find on YouTube. Oh, but then you wouldn't be able to, after that. How about 50 Shades of Vampire Blood? Boy with a new Brighton tattoo. The new self-help book by that one guy, six superheroes who saved Sacramento. You'll be watching television after you listen to this radio program. Radio program brought to you by just us. Tonight's television program will be brought to you by the CIA, the United States Army, the United States Navy, the FBI. Ain't no thing. Just saying.
Just an FYI on that link to Grover's Mills, New Jersey public access channel that is no longer available to non-subscribers. So everyone, please stop texting the station. Now, back to the show, Chuck.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Stephanie Moorman is from Mount Liberty. She graduated from Mount Liberty Senior High School in 72 after having switched over to public from St. Cynthia's in 8th or 9th grade, more or less because everyone else was doing it. She went to Wayne State College, earned a teaching degree, and then left to go get a job in Iowa, the progressive state to the east. the one that used to be famous for 6-on-6 girls high school basketball on the whole state kind of just evoked a sense of having gone on a couple more years than school. And the Des Moines Register, when it was a real newspaper, well, it was like a phylum difference when compared to the Omaha World Herald or the local Wednesday Miracle. Growing up in the four corners of Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota, Stephanie developed certain ideas about the people in the different states. For example, if a presidential candidate came through town, the folks in Nebraska would not notice unless he or she carried with them in their entourage a member of the Cornhuskers football team. The people in South Dakota would notice and recognize and understand, but they would not mention it at supper. The people of Minnesota would wonder if the candidate had 10,000 lakes in his or her state and forests and professional sports teams and a major metropolitan centrals, Metroplex thing, and the Green Mail. And if not, which was not likely, then what's the big deal? The folks in Iowa would walk up to the candidate, shake his or her hand, and hold the door for their entire entourage as they all entered the cafe together. Then they would sit down and talk and have pie and go on to the next thing. It was like that one football coach told his players that when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before. So that was where Stephanie wanted to go, and that's where she was. She went to where the earth was deep, deep black, like new tires. She married an Iowa husband, had Iowa kids, and taught at a small Catholic high school in St. Smith in the north central part of the state. Sweet Jesus is, in fact, in heaven, junior, senior high school. Steve, the husband, did not have to go to work for some non-credible, not surprising reason that day. This morning, Steve was still sleeping after Stephanie finished her coffee and raspberry old bagel. She got a text message from three teacher friends to meet them up at the bowling alley for a good old-fashioned summer's day of bowling and pitchers of Bud Light and karaoke in the bar. Stephanie said, "No, you go ahead." She said that three times and then shut her phone off. She teaches world history and wonders now if it should have been creative writing or English. She coaches basketball and track and should retire, and then maybe she'll do something different. Maybe she'll be a writer someday. Writing is always someday. It's just so super easy to put off, and then you never do it. But nobody cares, and so why should you care? And it was a crazy idea anyway. So at least the lawn looks great, and the kids are happy. Stephanie took her laptop upstairs and found her favorite almost writing spot. In the small bedroom with the pitched ceiling, so you can't really do anything in there but lie down or sit down, pulling your chair up to the window overlooking the ball field. She tread lightly up the stairs, now hoping Steve might sleep just a little while longer, maybe give her a chance to pull off this velvet revolution. She felt excited, frightened. A lump formed in her throat as if she had been chosen on the spur of the moment to jump the Berlin Wall, and now she realized she had stupidly stumbled her way into a fight or flight, do or die Super Bowl moment.
Just a minute, guys. Now they're saying you can find WWYZ local TV, Community Public Access of Grover's Mills on YouTube. No confirmation of that, but this is what they're saying.
Stephanie sat down, opened up new message in her email program, and began to write. She was actually writing. Someday had become today. She looked up quickly to see outside the water dripping past the window, the dew on the field, the swing set, and shed.
She rested her fingers on the keyboard. She had all the teacher emails and accumulated friends, and then there's always Facebook. Her page and Steve's, even the kids, if she really wanted to go crazy. She'd have an audience. She really wanted. She looked out the window, removed her hand from the white machine. She reached without looking and pulled the Marlboro Lights pack of matches, lit up, drew it down, blew the smoke out, kept looking out the window. Writing doesn't do anything. Nobody reads. Even if they do, they only read like three fiction authors in the whole country over and over and over. But for sure, you sitting down up there and taking time out of your day and mind, not getting a damn thing done, except some kind of self-absorbed mental onanism, just wrong. Can't change anything by writing. You're too old. You're not good enough. You take too long. You don't know enough about it. How would you ever get it published, let alone any bookstores? Who's going to read it? Just think about it. That should be your answer right there. Letting the cigarette dangle from her lips. Like an old-time big city reporter on a deadline, she wrote. She was writing, so she was a writer. The big idea she'd been writing in her head up and down the halls sitting in the teacher's lounge at the kitchen table, cutting her meatloaf with a fork for years and years. She poured out of her head like a bulging water balloon poked with a sharp pin. And I laughed. There's a photo on the internet that makes me laugh. A little brown boy holding a silent scream forever in four color. Ha! Huh. The horrified little fellow now has no arms or legs, or brothers, sisters, or parents. And I laugh out loud. I laugh at the Marines being all they could possibly be in God's creation, at their tough man commercials. The Army of One, what a hoot! The rough guy coaches and players who let this boy die. What comedy watching them feel strong while letting the real battles be fought by little guys with sticks and bicycles. The boy has a bandaged head. He looks so scared his hair might turn white as in a Hitchcock film, and it sort of makes me chuckle. Look, I laugh at the ministers here in town and here on this TV saying, bless our troops. As they defend our freedom. I laugh at the well-schooled and coiffed newspaper columnists with their earnest close-cropped photos and 400 papers read by 40 million people in 40 million cities. And I laugh. The boy's flat on his back on dirty cement, his stubs hastily wrapped in ace bandages, surrounded by the world trying to get a look, by photographers and people on their way to work and out to dinner. We're nothing, 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 because this boy now has no arms, no legs. Nothing we do today will mean a thing, because we've ripped the arms and legs from this boy as if he were a fly and we are us. This boy, you could be my boy, lying there at the feet of the world and the world looking the other way. God damn us. Please. Give us what we deserve. You're a just God. Rain down fire and hell on our heads. Lightning bolts on our backyard decks. Rivers of excrement down our smooth, well-scrubbed streets. Please, dear God, we pray. When I woke this morning, I thought it essential to the world order and being right and a good person that I shower, help out with the dishes, be on time, and drive on the right side of the road. Do a good job. Be pleasant. Smile. But now, I just can't stop laughing. The world thinks it still matters. It's kind of funny in a way. There, the flag flying over the Catholic elementary school, the yellow ribbons tied to the light poles on both sides of Main Street. Stray cats wearing yellow ribbons around their necks, roaming the night, looking both ways before crossing the street as if it mattered. You're never so wrong as when you damage a young boy. We sit down here like the Who's in Whoville celebrating the coming of war season while this boy lies on the cold floor. He.
Stephanie lit another cigarette and looked out the window and waited. Then she read through her piece again. She heard noises and a voice downstairs, and she lit another cigarette, and she hurried through spell check, found her address book, and pasted and loaded the BCC, not the CC. People get angry. They will say you spammed them as if an extra email will give them polio. She heard footsteps on stairs.
Steph? Stephanie? She looked at her message and her heartbeat. She read parts of it again. And she smiled. She hit send. She pushed back from the table, put her feet on the table, and pulled a long drag. Seth, what are you doing up here? Oh, nothing. She smiled wide at the light now cascading into the window, the sun having elbowed its way through thick cloud cover. What? What are you doing? She turned, put her feet on the floor, and faced him. Writing, she smiled.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty.
This just in from Mars, Grover Mills, and elsewhere. Hey, how's it going? Seems there was no threat after all. Never mind. Go about your day. Have a good day and a great tomorrow. Hey, and don't text and drive. And always use a designated driver. Stay on the same page. Take it to the next level. And we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO journalists are about average.
We thank all of you for listening to our show tonight. We hope you'll be back the same time, same place next week. We'd like to thank our sponsors, worldnewstrust.com, thespiritualun.org, and june2508.com. And we'd like to remind you to stay tuned after our show for Black Op Radio with Len Osanek, our producer. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust First, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. Thespiritualun.org.